We've been kind of on the theme so far this year, and some of the language that we've been using in leadership is, hey, we just need to dream big dreams, right? We've talked about that in the sermons and things like that, and we've talked about if your dream doesn't scare you, then it's not big enough, right? And so we've been thinking that, and being a pastor, you come across people who are living testimonies to that. They're dreaming big, and they're doing what God calls them to do, and that last song, it's like, hey, if you say go, I'm going to go. If you say wait, I'm going to wait. I just want to do what you want me to do. And so a couple weeks ago, I had the opportunity to actually come across my desk the names Troy and Jerry Masters, and I'm like, that name sounds familiar. I actually think they're from Pioneer, and so I knew who they were and things like that, and so I got in contact with them, and they're actually missionaries to Ghana, and so they're going to Ghana, and so they're here with us this morning to kind of share what they're doing, and maybe some of you are willing to support them, and I pray that if God is calling you to do that, do that. Maybe there's an opportunity for us as a church, some of our people, to go over there and hang out with them and see what they're doing. Let's do that. That'd be awesome. You know, and so we just want to give them an opportunity to share what God is doing with them. It's amazing when you hear people saying, you know, I felt like God was telling us to go to Ghana, and we just did it. And I'm like, that's amazing. I won't even go next door to my next door neighbor. You know what I mean? And some of us just need to have bigger faith, dream bigger dreams. And so it encourages me when we have people like this come and share with us. So you welcome to the stage this morning, Troy and Jerry Masters, and actually their daughters, Chloe and Cora, are here with them also this morning. So would you welcome them?
Sorry, get myself settled in there. Brent, I think you said, what, we have a couple hours?
Yeah.
Is that what you guys are used to? I had to set my watch up here, so we have a tendency to be long-winded. We're passionate about what God's called us to, but we do want to be respectful of the time. And so as he said, we are from Pioneer. Our home church is Solid Rock in West Unity, Ohio. We actually have three daughters. One is an adult, Lindsay, and she lives just over the line into Michigan. And she works at a factory, N&M in Pioneer. And Chloe is 15, and Cora, our youngest, is 13. And they're excited to go back to West Africa. We actually spent 3 years in Mali, West Africa, starting a new ministry for our denomination, and then God called us out of that to make a transition. We had no idea what he was going to call us to, but then it was only a few short months after that that God called us to World Venture. And we're excited to be a part of World Venture. It's an organization that's been in operation for 75 years come this summer. They have over 500 missionaries in 61 countries. So they're doing some really incredible work in a lot of great places. And it's an honor for us to be a part of what God's doing among them in Ghana. And you can go to the next slide. As Brent said, we are going to Ghana. Ghana is country about the size of Oregon. It has 27 million people. Most of them live in the cities. The pictures here depict a different story. Where we're going to be is about 6 or 7 hours from the capital city, and it's up in the mountains. And the bottom picture there shows an aerial view. Actually, it's not an aerial view. I'm standing above the village on the top of that mountain, and that village is set literally on the side of a mountain. You got to park your vehicle about 40 minutes down the mountain and then hike your way up to get to these people. And so very remote, very difficult to get to, and which is why they're a least reach people group. You can go to the next one.
The people group that we're going to be working with is called the Achide, and there are 16,000 of them, and they are subsistence farmers. They grow mainly yams, cassava root, pineapple, and plantains, and they just live on what they grow, and if they have extra, they can sell for what little money they might have. They have their own language. It's called Gichode, which we will be learning eventually, and we have 9 villages of this people group that we would be working with. They are actually animistic in nature. That's their tradition, which means that they still sacrifice animals. And the next slide. You can turn to the next slide.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, nope.
Go back, I'm sorry.
He changed the slides up on me. Anyways, so they are animistic by nature, which means that they worship their own gods. They have their main god called Brukum, actually supposedly lives in that mountain village that he showed you the picture of. And it's a very powerful god. Many people from all over the country come to have sacrifices and libations poured out for blessings from this god. So it's a very, very dark place. They have snake cults and all sorts of things going on there. And as a very long tradition, a dark hold on all the people there. And they live in fear because their god is not the one and only god who you do not have to work for to gain salvation from, right? The next slide. This picture shows the reality that there of the 16,000 Atchodé people are only 0.4% evangelical Christian, which means that that equals out to about 60 believers. So we have a big job to do there. And the really sad part, I really like this picture, kind of an analogy. It shows the years and years of tradition that they've been steeped in, and it's so ingrained not only in their faith, but it's their whole culture, it's their whole way of life. And so to break away from that is very difficult. And once they do, they find themselves very alone and very isolated. They've not only given up their faith-based belief, but they often are alienated from their families and unable to socialize in their regular culture. So we would love to see whole groups of communities come to know the Lord together so that they have a community to worship with and that they can feel safe with.
You can go to the next slide. I had the opportunity to go to Ghana to prepare for our family's arrival in this new ministry last December, and I spent 3 weeks there, and I was there to investigate exactly how we would fit into this ministry, this church planting ministry that among this reached people group. But while I was there, God really showed me and laid on my heart a whole new aspect of ministry that I wasn't prepared for, but it's all I could think about and all I could talk about when I returned home. And then actually talking to the directors, they said they wanted us to include that in our ministry. We were at our church the very first week in Ghana, and there's one pastor among those Atchodé people, and he's a good evangelical guy. But he was speaking at a church just like this. It's much smaller, but he started to share with his people, and as is normal in West Africa, the children were being kind of unruly. It can get loud sometimes in these services. And usually they don't address it, but he decided to that time, which is okay. And he told the parents, he said, you know, parents, you really need to watch these kids. These kids are accountable for their sins. You need to make sure that they're understanding what God wants of them during church. And then he says to the other parents, he said, with these little kids, he said, you don't need to worry about them. It's not until age 9 they're accountable. And he actually turns back to me and my teammate. He says, it's age 9, right? And to which me and my teammate kind of looked at each other and were like, Samson, that's a conversation that we need to have another day. If you know the Bible, that's not in there. We're certainly accountable for our sins. There's no age. You have to know the character of God before you delve into some of those questions, I think, and I know where he got it. It's a widely held belief in many circles, age of accountability, but it's not a biblical stance. And so what God laid on my heart is that the church needs help. I love the quote at the bottom there by John Piper. It says, bad theology will eventually hurt people and dishonor God in proportion to its badness. You see, Pastor Sampson shared a little nugget with his church, who are mostly oral people who can't read. So the only gospel, the only Bible they're going to get is from him. And so now they believe this as a truth of the Bible. Well, we need to go and come against some of this bad teaching and come alongside the pastors and the elders, because it's really turned into a prosperity gospel as well. very legalistic. It works well with their animistic traditions. Do this, don't do that. The Bible is not the why of our Christian faith. It's the what. It tells us what God's standard is, what he expects. But the why we do it is the love of Jesus Christ. The life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is why we do it. It's a response in love to him. And when we read the Bible through that lens, we understand that it's not about rules and regulations. It's not about what we do or what we don't do. It's about why we do what we do. And they need to understand that. And so for us, it really made no sense to reach the Atchaday people and plug them into a broken church. So we're also going to work in leadership development. The top picture, you might be wondering, you see that guy, he's got a chain actually on his ankle. There's another aspect about the church that really needs your prayers, and it really needs a lot of help. They have these things called prayer camps. And in that area, they don't really know, or they don't really have a lot of setup to do anything with their mentally challenged people. And so they believe they're all possessed. And so endearing families will take their people to these prayer camps, believing that they need to be exorcised of their demons. And so these people will be at these prayer camps, all under the guise of Christianity and the gospel of love, chained to an area of about 10 to 15 feet, and they live their whole lives in that radius. They never get to be unchained until their demons could be exorcised. And I don't really see or read in the Bible that has anything to do with treating people in that way. There's also other prayer camps that people actually have to spend the night, pay a money, pay a fee, to speak with a spiritual advisor so they can lay hands on them and give them advice. Where they're actually peddling the gospel for profit. There's real problems with the church in Ghana. You can go to the next slide. And so how we're going to come against that is, like I said, we're going to do some leadership development. Really believe that God's called me to work with pastors, work with elders. That pastor, he's a pastor of three churches, not just one. And so we need to train lay leaders that when the pastor's at another church, they can step up and share with their congregation as well. We need to get some ministerial associations going forward so that there can be unity among the churches, because ultimately God's called us to one church. We are the church. We're the body. We're not different denominations. There's not going to be several denominations. In heaven, it's going to be one church. And then also, simply the story, STS right there, is basically oral inductive Bible study. It's evangelism to people who do not actually read, and so they're non-literates, and so it's a great oral inductive Bible study to dig deep into the scripture, asking questions and finding the spiritual principles in the Bible.
We're also planning to use something called CHE, Community Health Evangelism, and that is an opportunity that you take to get to know the people in a community, one of these Atchaday villages, for example, find their leadership, have them come together and to discover what their community's felt needs are. And as you do that, then you can work together to help provide those needs for that village. And as you do that, all the while, explaining among them that health is more than just physical, it's emotional and social and most of all spiritual, and that we can use biblical principles as we're talking with them and introduce Bible stories that apply to some of the things that you're doing, and that use that as a platform for sharing Christ. And the other opportunity that I'm excited about is I have been a teacher for over 20 years, so because Ghana is actually one of their national languages is English, I'm going to use English as a second language classes as a platform also for sharing the gospel, because many of the people there, although it is the national language, if they don't have the opportunity to go to school regularly or to get that education, they can't speak English anyways, so they long to know it so that they can interact with other people and do business as well. So that is one area where I'm excited to work.
You can go to the next slide. Our goal is to see the Atchaday people come to relationship in Jesus Christ. This is a picture of the church that pastor was speaking in when he turned around and told us that little bit. And as you can see, the majority of the people in this church right now, I don't know if you can tell or not, but the majority are women. In that culture, in that area of the world, women are very much viewed as second-class citizens. So the gospel really hits them at the core, the value of what they have in Jesus Christ they can identify with, because they're not valued in life. And so we've seen in the 3 years that we spent in West Africa that women provide some really intriguing open doors, and Jerry could attest many stories about how God did that where we were before. And it's amazing how God calls people. We'll share a small testimony at the end of a lady that came to know Christ as well. And it's our goal is to see this church filled. The majority of the believers go to this church. There are two other churches, and they have about 10 to 15 people in each one of them. And those are the people that would identify and say, yes, I'm a Christian. But as I stated earlier, the things that are being taught aren't always necessarily biblical, so it's going to take some time for us to get in there and find out exactly what they've been taught, what they're teaching, so that we can come alongside them and encourage them and kind of fix the church to where when we are evangelizing the Atchaday people, we're plugging them into a church that's thriving. We really believe that for God to reach Africa, it's going to be through predominantly Africans. If we have to send people like Jerry and I to every people group that's left that don't have a gospel witness, even in Africa, it would take generations upon generations upon generations. But if we can mobilize the church in Africa, then they have so many fewer barriers to cross. I mean, we're going to have to go over there, learn the new culture, learn probably two languages, and eventually get to the point where we can have these deep spiritual discussions so we don't create the syncretism, so we don't create confusion. And so that takes time. We're planning a 10 to 15 year or plus ministry. And so if we had to do that at every people group, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And so we really ask for your prayers that God would mobilize his church and give their people a heart for Africans. You can go to the next slide. These are some pictures from when I was in West Africa last fall in Ghana. That snake up in the middle, it's a puff adder. It's pretty dangerous. It actually bit my teammate's dog, and the dog lived. We got him some medicine, and it was touch and go for a day, but he lived. But they're pretty prevalent in that area. In the top picture, you can see that's where you would buy your meat. That's your local grocery store. You just tell them how much you want. They take a machete and hack off the amount of weight, and you pay your money. And that's, you want to go early in the morning because it's just a little bit more sanitary if you go early in the morning. The bottom center picture is a picture of one of the other two churches. That's their church building. To me, I think that's awesome, because if you would see the way they live their lives outside. So the idea of needing a building like we have here is just not necessary. They could really do most of their teaching and their learning underneath a mango tree, but yet Western culture has crept in so much. This church is actually, even though they have about 15 people in that church, they've asked that, look, we need to build walls and have windows so we look like a church. And there's just a mentality that they don't really understand what the church is. The church isn't a building. The church is the people. And four of the people that I'd really like to work with are represented at the bottom side there. Those are elders from the Atchaday churches that are existing. And the lady with her child at the top, her name is Naomi, and we're going to close with her testimony. And so it's really powerful. I don't want to ruin it for you. You can go to the next slide. You can hit it one more time. I'm sorry. So what we're asking people to do, I guess it doesn't stay. What we're asking people to do is just pray. There's obviously needs. There's needs everywhere. Your pastor was talking about needs even in this local area. Missions is just geography. It's when we live our lives in relationship that we get involved in people's life, and that's where ministry happens. Whether that's in Bryan, to the neighbor's house, across the street, to the next town over, or across the sea. Ministry doesn't change. We need to take the joy that we have and the love that we have for Jesus Christ and share that with people, whether we're here or whether we're over there. And I want to close with a passage. You can get involved in many ways. He kind of stole my thunder. We'd love to see people come over as short-term trips. As we get into leadership development, we want to have people come over and work through the English language classes or through biblical teaching where we can work with pastors and elders, maybe even pastoral care. We'd love to see people come over and really get their hearts ignited for what God's doing in Ghana. But I want to close you with a passage here. It says, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and it's Paul talking about his ministry. Starting in verse 19, he says, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I become as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not myself being under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." All these aspects of what we're going to do in ministry, those are just platforms to get involved in people's lives. What are we willing to take on to that Jesus Christ may be glorified throughout the earth? What about across the street, even in our own neighborhoods? What are we willing to do to share the love of Christ? If you're interested in partnership, if you're interested in receiving our newsletters, if you want to see the Atchaday language, we have John 3:16 highlighted back there. We'd love to chat with you if you want to talk more. We could go on for, like I said, hours and hours about some of the stories that God has taken us through and what we expect to be able to accomplish over there. If that's interesting to you, we'd love to chat with you in the back. We could set up a time to have coffee or something like that. But I want to close with this testimony from Naomi.
"My name is Naomi, but I wasn't called Naomi from birth. They gave me a name, and the name coincided with a great day on the Atchaday land, and the day is Gikpaga, a day for pacifying the gods. I went to a kind of hell in my life because my mother and father died very early, and I became an orphan. So I was raised by many people and was mistreated. Finally, when I was old, I got married. Unfortunately, the husband wasn't hardworking, so I became responsible for the duties of both mother and father. I gave birth to 13 children, and 8 died. As a result, I heard the word of God and made up my mind that orphans like me who go through difficult times, that message was for me. When I heard the word of God, I told one of my sons that I wanted to give my life to Christ, but he warned me that I would be persecuted by my people. So I asked him, are my people caring for me? That even if my people persecute me to death, once I give my life to Christ, I prefer that. I will surrender to him, and if I die, I die. I heard the gospel at a funeral of one man named Kwajo. I became a Christian at the funeral ground of Kwajo. As I accepted Christ, I realized that I had something great. More than any other thing, God created me. As I accepted Christ, I was severely lashed by my colleagues in the Akoko snake cult. They all surrounded me and pulled me by both arms and were pushing my head. And I agreed that you can pull me and push me and do whatever you want. I am no more a part of you. So I migrated from Kerry to Nyambong If you serve God, you will never be put to shame. Even in sickness, God will heal you. Here I leave with you a living testimony in the Lord. Amen. I am pleading with you, as you came in our midst, you came to assist us. You came to assist us in the way of God's word, that it would be well with us. If all of us would repent, things would not go wayward as is now happening. So we are pleading with you all that you would come to assist us, whether we preach the gospel to my people so that in the end many of my people would become Christians.
Let's close in prayer. Father, as we come before you, we recognize that you are God. We sang one of the songs that said, your ways are higher than our ways. Your ways are better than our ways, God. Father, I just pray that you would humble us enough to see that there are needs all around us. Father, whether it's in Ghana, whether it's in Bryan, whether it's in our own neighborhoods, whether it's wherever we are, Father, at work, at home, you ask us to have you on our hearts. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that this church has given us to share the passion that you've laid on our hearts. And I just pray that you would mobilize people to partner, to join with us in prayer, because that's where the battle is, Father. It's when we have communion with you. We offer what little we have, and you provide the increase. We thank you for that, because in and of ourselves, we cannot do anything. But we have a God who's an overcomer, a God who has defeated death itself, Father. And we just thank you for that. We just pray your blessing on the rest of this day. We thank you, and we pray your blessing on the worship. May it be pleasing to you. May we worship you with our hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Thank you.